it is easy for our dis-ease to become our identity. So then if we don't have symptoms, if we're not stressing about food, who are we? Do we know who we are? If we're not calculating macros, if we're not calculating the workouts, if we're not worried about step counts and all these other things, like, do we know? Are we afraid what will come up?
Hello and welcome. We are chatting with my friend Jessica, who's a board certified master mental health coach, author, speaker, and podcast host of Untangle Your Thoughts. Jessica helps women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives through one-on-one coaching and her coaching programs. She wants to break the stigma surrounding mental health so women can truly find freedom in Christ. She loves board games, spending time with her husband, and cuddling with her three kitties at their home in Pennsylvania. A client of mine shared Jessica's work with me, and I checked out her website and I was like, you need to come on the show to chat about our thought life. We are inundated with thoughts about our body, about our goals, and I don't think many of us see just how full our brains are. So I wanted to have Jessica come on and chat about emotions and internal dialogue and how we get through some of these roadblocks that really stop us from being at peace with ourselves. And so without further ado, let's just cut over to our wonderful conversation with Jessica.
Hey, my name is Leanne Vogel. I'm fascinated with helping women navigate how to eat, move, and care for their bodies using a low-carb diet. I'm a small-town holistic nutritionist turned three-time international best-selling author turned functional medicine practitioner, offering telemedicine services around the globe to women looking to better their health and stop second-guessing themselves. I'm here to teach you how to wade through the wellness noise to get to the good stuff that'll help you achieve your goals. We're supporting your low-carb life beyond the if it fits your macros conversation. Hormones, emotions, relationship to your body, workouts, letdowns, motivation, blood work, detoxing, metabolism. I'm providing the tools to put your motivation into action. Think of it like quality time with your bestie mixed with a little med school so you're empowered at your next doctor visit. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn about your body and how to care for it better. This is the Keto Diet Podcast.
Hey, Jessica, how's it going?
Good. I'm really glad to be here. It's a sunny day here in Pennsylvania, so we don't get those too often. So
I'm excited. Big time, big time. I just came back from Canada, and although Calgary, Alberta is super sunny, it was so cold, and now I'm back in Florida, and I'm warm, and
you're happy.
It was cold. I'm very happy. So this is your first time on the show. I would love for you, in your own words, to tell us who you are, what you do, and what lights you up.
Yeah. Do you want me to go back to the beginning, or do you want me to just say where I am now?
Ooh, dangerous. Let's go where you are now, and then I'll ask you more questions about where it all started.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. You know, at the end of last year, God had actually really pivoted me because I have been in the fitness arena for 15 years. And so I've seen it all, done it all, and I've done it all to my body. And then the end of last year going into this year, he's really pivoted me into the mental health space, which I've really been talking about anyways. You know, as you know, Leanne, it's like when you work with your clients, you're not just thinking about, okay, we're going to talk about spinach today. You know, you're talking about how are you feeling? What's going on? And I really started to get into that more of, I want to understand, why am I feeling what am I feeling? Why do I keep thinking like this? And that's when I wrote my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. And I would say ever since then is when the Lord has just been pivoting me slowly, but I've been kind of denying it, you know, putting it off. And then this year he did a hard pivot of this is what we're going to focus on. So I've been going through certifications and trainings and hours of lessons and all of that. So that's where I'm at now, is just focusing on a Christian mental health coaching. I'll be a board certified biblical counselor and also a master life coach by the end of all of this. So yeah.
That is so exciting. What was that like to kind of pivot? Like, I know that my work has gone through a couple of big pivots, and sometimes my husband looks at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just trust in the Lord. We got to do this. Like, we got to just pivot. What was that like for you?
It was hard because my flesh, my side that is prideful, my ego, the person that wanted to take care of me, like myself, was like, what are you doing? What's going on here? This feels very unsafe. I don't like it. And he was kind throughout it all, but it's been hard because at the end of last year, my fitness business had took a big hit in a really big way. And I really wasn't expecting it. I mean, I was expecting it, but not that much maybe. And that is kind of what caused the hard turn almost of, listen, he got my attention. Here's some things we needed to fix. I had some scales fall off my eyes. And I was like, okay, this is fine. And I'm like crying. I'm like, this is fine.
I'm okay. It'll be fine.
And so it's been a lot of crying, but also it feels at the same time, which is what I talk about my clients all the time. It's both and. It's I am excited about the pivot, but it has been a hard pivot. Like it's good. And then I'm crying and then I'm laughing and I'm excited and it's all of it. So it's always more than one emotion going on at once. So yeah, I was like both. It's been hard and it's been holy and it's been sanctifying. And then I'm crying and I'm like, how is this going to work? And you know, all of that.
All the things at the very same time. My mom, who is a social worker, and we kind of grew up in that kind of environment, always used to say, you're just pulling out your double dip feelings. Like there's just multiple things and they're clashing with one another and all of it is happening all at the same time. There was something that you said at the beginning saying, I'd done it all to my body. I have a feeling that sets us up for the conversation around what was your past like? Kind of like what brought you to this point of quote unquote doing it all to your body. Can you explain like what that looked like?
So I grew up in a home that was not shown love. You know, my brother had turned to drugs at a young age. And so the first thing that I really did to my body was I had sex at a young age. And what was going on in my home really just led me to that. I was searching for some kind of safety. I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to feel seen. You know, every young 12-year-old girl wants to feel protected and safe, you know, in her home that she's growing up in. And so I didn't get that. And it was through high school, all the girl drama. You know, I graduated with a class of 66. And so I grew up in the country. So everybody knew everybody. And that really led to kind of this stern, like, you ain't going to tell me kind of personality, and which was really my defense mechanism of trying to protect myself. I had a lot of anger, bitterness for the way I was raised, how I was treated. So that led me to just dating terrible men too, you know, abusive men. That's what I knew. And then I turned to my body. And then I was like, well, I can control how I work out and I can control what food I'm putting in my mouth. And that really turned into disordered eating, body dysmorphia. It was just never enough. I mean, I was deadlifting and bench pressing and just weight that I was incredible, but I was under eating. Back then it was like pre-workout. Remember, it was like, take your pre-workout. I don't know, maybe it's still a thing, but I'm so far removed from that end of it. But it was like, take that pre-workout, you know, and I'd be so tired. After my workout, I'd be there for 2 hours at the gym. And it just led me to now I'm 36, I'll be 37 this year. And I've spent the last 5 years just trying to heal my body for the torture I had put it through myself. But also, I think I just came out of the womb in fight or flight, meaning I think there was abuse happening before I was born. And so that affects the nervous system of my mother, which would affect my nervous system. And it's that survival that I've been living in, you know, in the last 5 years. And so when I say I've done it all to my body, I've done it all to my body. You know, I wasn't eating condiments. I wasn't eating gluten, dairy, all of the things. I was afraid. I had food fear. You know, and so I've had to really overcome that and work through that as well on the mental health side.
I feel like we share so many similarities in our life as you were speaking. I'm like, yeah, that sounds a lot like me. I'm 1 year older than you, but other than that, we're pretty much two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
I think too, the protection, safety, rebellious side of things is an interesting way to look at it. And I think so many women are still stuck in that place of control. And what you said, I know will resonate with many women listening of, I can't control my circumstances, but I can control my workouts and my eating. But was there ever a time where if that wasn't quote unquote in control for you, like if it didn't hit the standards, if you
missed a workout or missed your step count or messed up on your macros. What was that fallout like for you? Did you have fallout? What were the emotions going on when you couldn't control the thing that you thought you could?
Yeah, it's funny because I think I was so far in my disorder that it's interesting because you think that once you start controlling these things, you're going to feel safe. But really inside, you just feel out of control. You still feel out of control because now you're just focusing on everything that is, I don't know if quantifiable is the word, but like I can have 2 carrots. I can, you're just obsessing about something else versus dealing with the issue that needs to be addressed. You know, it's just almost like keeping your mind busy. You know, if we don't focus on that and we focus on this, then I can still feel safe. But internally, it was chaos. I was still feeling chaos. You know, it was never enough. Even though I thought I was controlling it, no workout, because I was working with a trainer and I had great muscle. I look at pictures back then. I'm like, you think, what was I thinking? You know, and no muscle was enough. I still thought I wasn't big or I was tiny. I was at my smallest weight. And, you know, thinking about the scale going up, of course, you know, growing up, there would be people that would make comments, well, you're so thin. Wait until you get childbearing hips. I just want to shove a Snickers in your mouth. And that's where it's hard because we categorize women if you're small, you must not have issues and you can't talk about your body because you're small. And then if somebody's bigger, you know, it's the same story. It's, you know, you should be over this or you should be doing this. And we put all these shoulds and these stipulations and expectations so that nobody wants to talk about what the actual issue is. And so for me, it was really chaos was always happening inside, even though I was able to work out. Hopefully that answers the question that there really was no peace, or safety, even though in my mind I was like, well, I can do this thinking it's going to bring it.
Yeah. And it sounds like the chaos was probably a lot of internal dialogue, a lot of dissatisfaction.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Totally. Are you trying to put on muscle, change the way your body looks, lose weight, or maintain lean muscle? Taking an EAA supplement is going to be one of the best things you can do for yourself. I started taking Keon Aminos because I want muscle on my body. More muscle burns more calories, and more muscle increases metabolic flexibility, allowing you to have more freedom with your carb intake, helps you sleep better, protects you as you age. The list goes on and on and on. Protein is essential for muscle growth. Your protein needs increase as you age, and I bet you're not getting enough protein on a daily basis. Most ladies that I connect with are eating around 0.2 grams per pound of body weight, and it should be at minimum 0.8 grams, which is 4 times what they're eating currently. Keon, an essential amino acid blend with no calories, is a great way to hit your protein needs without filling up your belly. Since starting up with Keon, I take a scoop with each meal. I've noticed far better recovery from my workouts and better muscle definition. Keon Aminos is an essential amino acid supplement that I've been taking to boost my protein intake and assist with my body recomp goals. It's a powder that you simply add to water, and it's a fabulous way to get an increase in your EAs without loading your system with a bunch more food. To save 20% on Keon Aminos, just go to getkeon.com/keto. That's GETKION.com/keto. And your purchase comes with a risk-free 60-day money-back guarantee. So if you hate it, I don't think you're going to hate it because you're going to love it. But if you hate it, then you can get your money back. That's getkeon.com/keto to save 20% off. Now remember, the first time you take essential amino acids, it's not uncommon to taste a bitter taste, but I promise you that second serving, you will not taste the bitterness. Again, that's getkeon.com/keto. Now you mentioned a couple of moments ago around removing gluten and dairy. I've been sharing more on my social media about how I want to live a life where I'm able to eat the foods that I want to eat and enjoy myself. And a lot of people, you know, you've heard of people say lectins and oxalates and the removal of this and that and the other thing. And where do you think, like, coming from both worlds and kind of straddling both the mental aspect, the mental health aspect, and the physical aspect, what's your approach to having a balanced diet while also making sure that we're not making those restrictions and encouraging that chaos? That might be a super loaded question, but do you have any thoughts on that and kind of how you bridge the gap between those two?
Yeah, I think it's I mean, it is a big question, but thinking about my own history in the last 5 years of having to fight for my health, meaning I have nothing against doctors. I just haven't had any good luck with the doctors that I have tried to get help from. You know, when I wanted to get thyroid panel, they wouldn't do a full thyroid panel. When I waited 3 months to get an endocrinologist, she looked at my TSH, told me to get off all my natural supplements, and I'd see her in 6 months, you know? And it hurts my heart because we trust doctors, right? They go to medical school for this. And it wasn't, none of that was helping me, you know? And so then I have a kinesiologist, practitioners, and I went through a couple of different ones because you just got to go through the one that finds, you know, what's right. And coming almost from a trauma-based sickness, meaning I was so sick. My body was so exhausted. My pancreas was shutting down. Again, think under eating, afraid to eat food because of the carbs or sugar. It just was escalating. And then my husband saying, this was a defining moment. He said, like, you're going to have nothing to eat soon. And so my body was done. And I had passed out on an airplane. It was a red eye flight. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and I was like, if things were kind of fuzzy and I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. And all I remember is sitting down to go number two. Okay. Listen, TMI, but you have to know the full story. Sitting down to go to the bathroom and waking up on a bathroom floor of a plane. Okay. Let's talk gross. First of all, I don't remember putting up my pants. I don't remember wiping, nothing. And I just remember like saying, like, I got to get to a flight attendant. Like, it's the most scary thing ever to not know you passed out, not know what's going on in your body. And that was a huge moment. And it took a long time to find answers and get to that. So I share that story because so much now of the healing process has been trying to stay out of the trauma base, because then I developed benign positional vertigo from past head trauma that I didn't know. So now my world is spinning, and it was just kind of, it was trying to take care of me. But now for the first time in my life, I had felt safe in my marriage because I had married somebody that was safe. And my body was like, we can take care of this now, because I started getting out of fight or flight. And so the different organs started to say, we need help. And I know this is a long answer to your, but I want people to understand the full background of fighting for your health, but not being obsessed with it, is because you have to recognize if, are you being in a trauma state of survival because you're afraid to have another episode? And that will cause you to restrict food, that will cause you to not do things you once did, even though you know you're healed, you're sleeping better, all of that. So I think that is a starting point.
Yes, completely. And I think there's also, would you agree that there's a mental aspect that's going on at the same time when we're thinking, I'm just going to come up with some examples, totally random. I can't have these cashews because I'm already over on my fat amount today. Oh, I already had 3 crackers. I couldn't possibly have 5. Where are my carbs? Like all of the chaos, that internal dialogue of macros and manipulation and things. Do you find that that can even have an impact on your health? That chaotic mental state of constantly thinking about it. I see this pattern a lot with it affecting the thyroid more than anything. Like when I see a hypothyroid client, my first question is like, what's going on in your internal dialogue? Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening there? Because the hypothalamus is massively involved, the pituitary is massively involved, and it will affect the thyroid and adrenals. Do you see that too? Kind of.
Absolutely.
The chaos.
Because we're so stressed about what to eat that we don't realize that stress is actually impacting us like any other stress would. It's still keeping us in that mode of, I got to figure out what to eat. I got to do it right. Because if I don't do it right, then something's going to happen, or I'm not going to lose weight or whatever. It's just more mental torment that we put ourselves through. You know, the big lie for me, it is not eating late. There's been times where I'll eat dinner at 10:30 or 11 because I am hungry and I didn't, it was just the way the day unfolded. I had to, like, I'm not going to not eat anymore. You know what I mean? Like my options are this. And sometimes your options, like right now I am dairy free and gluten free because I took a test and it was off the roof. Last year I was on dairy, but my body still wasn't healed from a lot of the stress I was going through. So I had to go back off again, but it has been joyful this time around more than it ever has, because I'm feeling my body calm down as far as like inflammation. I changed the way I work out. But anyways, the mental state for me is still that peace, because I can tell myself it's almost like I'm expecting something bad to happen because I'm so used to it. But now that I've had all this healing of sleeping and periods and all that, getting so much better just because I'm balancing my blood sugar has been huge. But the mental part will get you more than the food and the exercise, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I think a real big piece there is I'm not going to not eat. Yeah. I remember that moment for myself too. Like, I wake up at 2 a.m. and I literally woke up because I'm hungry, I'm just going to go into the kitchen, I'm going to grab a little meat stick, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to go back to bed. I'm not going to not eat. That's ridiculous. Like, yeah, I think that mindset shift is everything. And then two, it sounds like what you're saying is that internal dialogue around health improvements changes the game. Like, if you're thinking, I'm not eating gluten because I know that it's causing inflammation, or whatever the dialogue is, I know it causes inflammation, I know it doesn't make me feel good, I'm choosing not to eat gluten because it doesn't make me feel good.
Not because it's a trend.
Right. Totally. Dairy, same thing. I had a test. It inflames me, doesn't help me. I've decided not to have it. If I have it, is it the end of the world? No. Am I going to die? No. I just choose not to have it. Like, it sounds like that internal dialogue as opposed to, I don't know, dairy makes me fat or whatever.
Yeah. And that's hard because that's some of the narratives. Like, I had to unfollow so many fitness people. I had unfollowed even natural people because they're speaking to a general audience. And if we're not careful and you're following all these naturopaths and all these different things that say, have dairy, have this, have that, but you don't know what your body needs, you're already feeling overwhelmed by trying to pick up these pieces of advice, which are still great advice, but not specific to you. And that's like my biggest thing is you have to know, and especially in working with a kinesiologist of muscle testing, there's so many things that people think they need to be on, but they don't. And you can actually overstimulate your body with just natural supplements. And I don't think people realize that. Vitamin D, vitamin C, all of those, you can overstimulate your body and not even realize it because it's still a good thing.
Yeah. Yes, totally. I can't tell you how many times the client will come to me with initial supplements and will go through their blood work. And I'm like, you don't need to be on this. You don't need to be on this. You don't need to be on this. Because it's not that those things are bad. It's just the body, your body doesn't need them.
You're doing great. Your body's metabolizing it great. It's functioning great. Yeah. It's good news, actually.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So how do we check this internal dialogue? If we kind of know that this kind of chaos is happening internally, how do we get a foot in the door to start changing the way we're thinking around our food and our relationship to food, our bodies? Like, how do we start doing
that? I mean, for me, it really comes back to the question that Jesus asked, do you want to be well? And for me, it is easy for our dis-ease to become our identity. So then if we don't have symptoms, if we're not stressing about food, who are we? Do we know who we are? If we're not calculating macros, if we're not calculating the workouts, if we're not worried about step counts and all these other things, like, do we know? Are we afraid what will come up when we start not worrying about it? Because our minds are filled with that right now. Are we afraid to sit in silence? Are we afraid of solid? Like, you know, all these different things. And so for me, it's asking the question like every day, do I want to be well? And am I holding on to this as a part of my identity because I've walked through it for so long now? And I honestly think before any thought patterns, that's a place that you have to know you are. Because to go through and untangle thought patterns and your emotions starts with a decision that you want to change, right? And a decision of commitment and saying, okay, it's going to be super hard to reframe the way I look at bananas. I know this sounds crazy, but it was like
bananas.
Bananas are sugar. Bananas are carbs. I remember just ads, like, I don't even know how many years ago. It was like at the height, I feel like, of everything. Don't have sugar. Don't have fruit. And you're so overwhelmed. It's like, you shouldn't eat anything. And I was like, okay, I can eat a banana. I can eat a quarter of a banana and feel good. Like, bananas actually do make me feel bloated, but that's like not because somebody told me I couldn't have a banana. Like, I like having a banana, but not because I'm thinking about the sugars and carbs. So I have to look at it and go, does this make me feel good? And if it doesn't, then I can say, I don't want it. Not because somebody, Leanne or Jessica, told me not to have it because it's sugars and carbs, but genuinely, it just don't make me feel good. That's where we have to get to. But we have to first decide, like, do we want to be well? Do we want to pursue that? And do, because it's going to take time to create those neural pathways and neuroplasticity to start to begin to then think like that on a more regular basis.
I think yes, completely. And the who am I? What do I want? Do I want to be well? I think loops into who am I without illness? Like, who am I without the imbalance? Which I think a lot of us struggle with is, if I didn't have this autoimmune condition, if I didn't have XYZ, what would I talk about? Who would I connect with? Like, it becomes your identity. Have you seen that also?
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen it in myself, and I'm still healing my thyroid right now, and my antibodies right now are still higher. So I'm in the thick of it, but I've seen so much healing, even though the numbers quite aren't there yet. And I think that with time and being willing to pursue that is what you have to give yourself the grace for and the kindness for, is looking at your body as not something separate from you or apart from you. Like, your body, you're living in your body right now. And I think oftentimes we look at it, it's over here, I'm going to feed it this, I'm going to do it that, but your body's working together right now as a whole, trying to take care of you.
Yes, it totally is. And at what point, like, have you played around with the idea that your thyroid might not be perfect ever? Like, what if your markers don't change? What if this is as good as you can get it?
Yeah, I've thought about that. And for me, in my theology of God, I'm not saying we're ever going to be perfect, because we're just not. Like, our bodies change so much, especially women. I was just telling my husband last night, I was like, you can use a bar of soap on your face and look beautiful. And I'm over here like six lotions.
Layers. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I got estrogen. I got progesterone. Like, I'm like, what are you worried about? Nothing. You know, he gets out of the shower and combs his hair and he's done. I get out of the shower and I'm like putting lotion on my feet. I'm like putting, you know. And I think that on this side of heaven, we won't be perfect, but I do believe that God is a God of healing and he wants his children well. And so I don't think it's about perfection as much as living in health and just feeling good. And, you know, when I started healing, I had gained about 10 pounds and that was a big change for me. And if anybody's listening, you know, when you come from an eating disorder and body dysmorphia, getting 10 pounds is a lot of weight. And your clothes fit differently. I'll never forget the first time I had to buy clothes that were bigger because, you know, I just had the same clothes for a long time, my workout pants. And that was a little traumatizing. And it's always going back to, like, this is the way my body weighs. It's not who I am. It doesn't change me. Like, I'm still me, even if I'm 10 pounds heavier. But I like who I am now because I'm happier and kinder and nicer versus Jessica 10 pounds lighter, who was tired, sleeping, exhausted, but she had the body, you know? And so I'm not saying, because some people would say, well, can you have both? Can you have both energy and the body? And I, you know what? Six-pack abs to me, like walking 20,000 steps a day, I don't know. I still like cookies and stuff, you know? Like, I am more of that intuitive eater side now, where I'll eat food until I feel hungry. I never stuff myself. I'm never like, I don't want to say never, but I'm not usually leaving a meal saying, oh my gosh, like, because I've intuitively started to learn, like, this feels good. And if I want the chips, I'm eating the chips because those are usually my kryptonite. But it's just this whole idea of, can we trust ourselves and our body? I think that's where it's hard for women. I'm sure you've had this, Leanne, of, I just don't trust myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure, buddy. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. To the point now where I trust my body immensely. Like you mentioned earlier, when you're looking for practitioners and nothing's really hitting the mark, I know I used to settle a lot with the people that I would outsource my health to. And I'd just be like, okay, well, you know best, even though, like, I feel like this is happening and I feel like it's a problem, but you're telling me it's not. So, like, I guess it's not. To where now, you know, I just switched chiropractors because my last chiropractor, I loved him. I just outgrew him. And I was just feeling like,
that's a good word.
This isn't working anymore. It did. And he provided so much help for my nervous system. But I just started feeling like, I feel like we've reached the end of our relationship and I'm ready for the new step, a new step. And I met with my new chiropractor, which, oh, I'm so thankful I made the switch already. And he said, he asked me a question yesterday, like, well, is it like this or is it like that? And I was like, well, the logical thing would be to say option A, but I really feel like B. And he's like, that's great. It sounds like you know your body well. And I'm like, yes, thank you for encouraging me in that. Because I think too, like just learning to trust, like what we were talking about earlier with the food. It's like, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm hungry, or you get to the end of the day and you're hungry, you're not going to not eat because you missed dinner at 6 p.m. And that builds your trust. And I think another thing that builds your trust for yourself is when you commit to something, following through on it. So if you say, I'm going to go, I don't know, random example, I'm going to go to bed at 9 p.m. I'm going to make efforts to start going to bed earlier. By showing up for yourself and making those efforts, you learn to trust yourself, and you're building that relationship with yourself to trust yourself more and saying, when I commit to something, I follow through on it.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, and being okay with that, because I think we've been taught to trust other people so much. Listen to what I'm saying. Here, I'm going to tell you, think about all the diet trends, fads, everything of here's what to do. So I'm going to give you this many carbs, this, and then you don't have to think about anything. And that's where, when I was in the fitness realm, being a fitness coach, was I want you to stop having somebody else tell you what to do, because you don't know how to make a decision for yourself. You're just listening to, I need 6 points. I need that, blah, 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 you know, like whatever it is, but you're not consciously choosing, I'm going to enjoy this cookie. You might be thinking, this fits in my points, or this, you know, this is something they told me I can have, versus saying, do I want this? Is this good? Does that make sense? It's like you're learning to not listen to somebody else. You're saying, do I want this? Is this something I want?
Yes. And when you get to that layer of, I don't want this, I think you've kind of unlocked the reason behind binging. Like, I find, at least for me, when I was binging, and in many cases earlier on, I was purging as well, where I would say, I really want that cookie because I've been wanting cookies, and it's no longer about the cookie. It's just a lack of control, and I'm going to eat all the things, to the point where now I'm like, I don't really feel like a cookie. And sometimes I feel like a cookie. And even those simple things, I find I don't binge because I just let myself have the thing that I want.
When you want it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
That's the most important part. It's having it when you want it and not denying it till later. And then later you realize you can't control it because you've labeled it as bad. And you're never going to do it again.
Yep. Totally. So do you think that this is, like, I know you were talking about six-pack abs and all the things. Do you think that this is more of a heart position change and looking at your areas of idolatry than it is a physical change? Like, I think the two could maybe coexist together if, by eating intuitively, checking your heart, idols, you know, getting into a good place, you might just have six-pack abs and that's great for you. But do you think it's more just like shifting your position on physical, 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 physical to where is my heart? What am I holding on as an idol? And more focusing on that. And then the physical just comes over time.
I do. I think it all comes back to heart, doesn't it? Like, why are we doing what we're doing? Like, what do I believe about food? What do I believe about my body? That whatever I believe is going to drive what I do. So if I believe that my body is bad, I'm going to treat it as such. I'm going to talk like it's trash. I'm going to treat it like it's trash. And then I'm going to be upset when it doesn't give me what I want it to do. When it doesn't lose the weight, now I'm at war with my body. So then you just create tension and stress within your own body and your own self, and you're warring with yourself. And so for me, I think it is 100% heart. And I'm not saying that you couldn't have a six pack. I'm just speaking to the general public and the general woman that probably just wants to feel good. Like, she just wants to feel good in her body again. She wants to sleep through the night. She doesn't want to have painful periods. You know, she wants to have energy throughout the day instead of trying to sleep between 3 and 5 or 2 and 4, you know, which is what I was doing. You know, I was always tired. And I think the general woman just wants those things. She wants to feel good in her body. And if the abs and all of that comes, then I'm all for that. I'm not saying abs are bad. I'm just saying, I don't label things good or bad. I'm just saying, are you and do you feel good? Are you feeling good? And if you're not, okay, well, let's address that. But do you feel good at the body fat or whatever, the scale right now, you know, because I wouldn't go back to that 110 body. It looked great. It lifted well, but I don't want that 110 pound Jess. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want her. And so can I gain muscle, get leaner if I'm not stressed? Because stress holds inflammation and that can be emotional and that can be heart. So I think it can, of course, be both and.
You guys have to check out the grill that everyone's talking about. The Schwenk grill heats up to 1500 degrees to grill the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. This is the portable infrared gas grill that'll deliver world-class steakhouse quality steaks like think Ruth Chris, Morton's, Del Frisco's, Cut 432 from your home. It'll be the best grill that you will ever have using infrared heating technology that heats up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit, creating the perfect sear and the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. Made in the USA with the same technology used in top steakhouses since the 1980s, now accessible to all of us. Steak, chicken, veggies, salmon, burgers, chicken wings, it'll soon be your favorite thing in your house. At 1500 degrees, you can get that perfect, delicious crust on both sides of your steak without overcooking it, and the steak is incredibly juicy and flavorful. There's truly nothing like this grill, and this really is the future of grilling. I'm really just sitting here salivating thinking about these darn steaks. You can use the code KDP to get you $150 off Schwenk Grills. Go to schwenkgrills.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-N-K Grills. And use the code KDP for $150 off.
So the Bible tells us that we actually love ourselves a whole bunch. And we're quite in love with ourselves. How do you explain or kind of like unpack the hatred for your body, anger at food, anger at your body, yet still being totally selfish through, you know, like being in our flesh and seeking idols? Like, how do we, I think about this a lot, of just this balance between, I know that I'm totally obsessed with myself because I'm a human being, but I can have areas where I hate my body. How do we as believers even just like balance those two, understanding the truth behind them?
Yeah, it's a good question. This is something I help with my coaching clients, is that our relationship is with ourselves is only as healthy as our relationship with God. So that means that how we view God, if we are made in his image, is directly how we're going to view ourselves. So whatever our theology of God is, we will indirectly treat ourselves that way because we can't escape how we're made and who we're in the image that we're made of. So if I have a healthy relationship with God, then I can have a healthy relationship with myself too. That means that he doesn't tell me to just treat myself like trash. And on the other mouth, I'm supposed to think about what is kind, lovely, true, honorable, and noble. That doesn't even make sense. So we're contradicting ourselves all the time by telling women that we are selfish without giving context of really the idea that it's okay to be kind to yourself, because that is what scripture says, not maybe to ourselves, but to others. But if I have the Spirit of God in me and I'm supposed to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit at all times to people, to others, why would it exclude myself? Why would I then just be like, okay, well, I'm going to be honorable and true and kind and edify you, Leanne, but that's off limits for me. I'm going to talk trash to myself and tell myself that I'm ugly and you shouldn't have anything that's nice. And you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, me neither. Why do we do this?
I know, that's what I'm saying. Right. And then we preach that gospel though. And that's the biggest thing, is why I'm always bridging the gap of that of no. Like, this is not okay. It is not, like, now we know when we've gone too far and made it an idol. That's when it's an issue. I know when it's an idol. We know when it's an idol in our lives. And it takes the place of God. That's sin, of course. But to be kind to ourselves, to receive a compliment, to, you know, want to steward our bodies well and to feel well, that's just being in a healthy relationship with God and yourself. That's the way I look at it.
Yes. If anyone needs like an example, I'll kind of go through some areas over the last couple of months that I've realized that health, food, diet, body stuff is an idol for me, because maybe that would be really helpful. When I don't get my step count in, sometimes I can get very frustrated. And
yep. Oh, I get that. Me too.
Oh, aggressive even, like
toward other people?
I'm going to start walking. Like I was at the one day I used like Map My Walk. It was like 2.98. And I was like, babe, I'm 0.02. And I started walking around my house.
Yes.
And I caught myself. I said, Jess, this is stupid. Turn it off. It was like, literally, I was like, turn it off. Who cares if you didn't make it to the 3 on your app? Turn it off. Turn it off.
Yes. Sitting in church, pastor's giving like a great sermon. And I'm like, if I put walnuts on my salad, I'm going to be over on my fat. So I won't do an egg for dinner. Not the time.
Yeah. Like I really want the walnuts and the egg. So.
Yeah. So like, how do I make, oh, I shouldn't have had the whatever, you know what I mean? Or missing a workout day and having a lot of stress, anxiety around that. And so I think when I notice when I get frustrated, stressed, and even on the flip side too, like, cause we've been talking about a lot of like a deficiency conversation of more just like not eating enough and those sorts of pieces and working out too much. But I think the inverse can happen where I know that in the past when I've overcome an eating disorder and those sorts of things, sometimes I would get frustrated, angry on the flip side where I'd be forcing myself to eat even though I wasn't hungry because I thought I needed to eat. So I would be forcing myself to eat even though I didn't need to eat. And so I think the same can be true. And so it's just usually I find, at least for myself, that there are key emotions that will pop up that tell me, okay, I'm not looking at this rightly. Like I'm getting consumed by this and I need to check myself quickly. Yeah. And for that, it shows up as frustration and anger for me often.
Even with the workout, it's so funny because like since I'm changing up my workouts just for the 6 months and trying to calm my nervous system a little bit, if I do even two days in a row or three, if I'm going on three, even if there's low impact, like bar Pilates style, not super like, I'm not doing strength training right now because I've done strength training for 15 years straight. And I catch myself yawning in a workout. I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm like, you're saying like the over, like I should not be working out right now. And now it's just now workout, sometimes do skip a day or 2 days to just give my body time because that's just where my body is and what it needs right now. And I'm okay with that. But that's the same thing, like overdoing it because that's my tendency, that overdo, overworkout, undereat. That was my motto. Like that was what I lived. And now it's like, now I'm trying to eat enough and do less workout. It's completely inverted.
So the split of working one day and taking one day off is literally the juiciest, most amazing, fantastical split that exists on planet Earth. I am convinced it is the best. It just feels like the balance of movement / recovery, 50-50. Oh, yeah,
it is. And I actually feel, even that I'm not strength training, when I give myself a day or two between, I feel so, I'm like, girl, you'll be hanging onto that plank a little while. Okay.
Yes.
You know, just because your body actually had time to recover. So you actually go into your workout stronger, which is so funny to me. It's like, oh, okay. Okay. You know, like that is what I've been noticing in this kind of season since beginning of the year of changing things up of I'm not strength training heavy right now, but I'm noticing the strength when I'm giving myself the proper rest.
Yes. I would love to finish off this conversation before we kind of talk about like how to connect with you and all the things, talking about how to still serve our families and our community while not feeling good. Because there's this thing that can happen where we push too hard and we really need to take it easy. And in those sorts of circumstances, sometimes it is really in the strength of the Lord and I'm bringing the weakness, and sometimes things just need to get done. But we also don't want to make our not feeling good, I don't want to say an excuse, but just like resting on that too much and not serving our families. And so any tips or suggestions you have on kind of balancing that conundrum?
Yeah, I think it's just knowing your limits. You know, whatever it is that you're walking through, processing through, healing from requires different things. Like when I have vertigo, when I had vertigo and experienced it, or if it tries to come back, I can't do a lot of things. Especially my work, my style of work that I do, I have to change it up. everything changes for me. And I think you just have to know your limits according to where you are. And then just, I'm going to say the B word, boundaries. Like, you're just going to have to say, no, thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. I just can't do that right now. You know, and I think it's easy doing good things. We exhaust ourselves with good things and then we resent those good things. It's like, well, God never even told you to do it. Don't be mad at him. Like, you know, it's, we exhaust ourselves by saying yes. And I think really for me is just knowing my limits. What am I capable of right now? What is my energy sustained for this right now? And then, because sometimes you got to figure it out. So you're going to play with it. You might be like, okay, I caught myself. I'm so tired after 4 days of this or 2 days or whatever, or I'm going to need more space meeting with this amount of like whatever it is. You know what I mean? Just know your limits, the energy levels that you have, so that you're not putting yourself in more exhaustion that it's going to take you longer to recover.
Yes. I find my husband is the greatest buddy on this, and he will tell me straight, like, are you kidding me? You do not have time for that. Like, I've seen how crazy it's been over the last week. You're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, thanks, buddy. Like,
yeah. And then we can say, sorry, my husband, yes. You know, he's...
Yeah.
That's when we get married, so we can have an excuse so that my husband said.
My husband said, I can't take this on. And he's probably right, because oftentimes he sees my life and chaos a lot better than I do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
A lot better than I do. Where can we find out more from you and connect with you? I know that you have a Patreon. You've put together a free 3-day study. Kind of tell us a little bit about each and how we can stay in touch.
Yeah. So the Patreon is kind of an extension of the podcast, but it kind of gives people as well an opportunity to, I have two different tiers. One is a coach in your pocket and one is a coach in your corner. And they're just two different levels, but really that you have somebody there as a coach guiding you. We talk about April, we're talking about overcoming thought patterns. We've talked about God and pain. We've talked about stress and anxiety. And the members kind of vote on what topic they want to dive into. And then we just kind of go through it. They get a biblical study every month on a topic or very helpful handouts. And that's just been encouraging for them, because some people just want to show up. They don't want to message me. They just want to get the content, do it in their own time. And then that would be the coach in your pocket and the coach in your corners if you want Q&A and things a little bit more in depth. But that is a great place if you just want something that is not expensive, it's very affordable, and cancel anytime, kind of getting started.
And then where can they find out more? I'm going to put in the show notes the 3-day study. That's jessicahoddle.com/3-day-study. So I'll include those details in the show notes if you kind of want to like get started. Any parting words for our listeners or anything that you feel like I didn't touch on, or a word of encouragement as we wrap up today's conversation?
Yeah. Just be kind to yourself. Like, you're not going to get it right. Especially if you're somebody that's doing macros, you're doing like, you're just not going to get it perfect. Like, just how can you be kind to yourself? Meaning maybe it's a workout. Maybe that's being kind. Maybe not working out is being kind. Maybe learning to intuitive eat is being kind. Like, know what it is to be kind to your body and to yourself, instead of just talking to yourself like trash. Like, that's been huge for me. Like, sometimes I'll be like, all right, Jess, you got it. Like, look at your body, Jess. Like, it feels weird, but your mind is listening and your body is listening to what you are saying. And that is a game changer.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Jessica, thank you very much for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed our conversation and I hope it speaks to a couple of ladies listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you really enjoyed our time with Jessica Hoddle. You can find out more from her by going to patreon.com/JessicaHoddle. That's JessicaHoddle. And then she also put together a free 3-day study on handling emotions. So I'm going to put those links in the show notes so you can find them really easily and just click over. If you can't find the show notes on whatever player you're using, just look down below if you're watching this on YouTube. Or you can go to ketodietpodcast.com and look for the show notes and links for the episode on that page if you just cannot find them. Okay, we will see you back here for another episode. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Join us next Tuesday for another episode of the Keto Diet Podcast. Looking for more resources? Go to healthfulpursuit.com for keto meal plans, weight loss programs, low-carb recipes, and oodles of free resources to get you going. The Keto Diet Podcast, including show notes and links, provides information in respect to healthy living, recipes, nutrition, and diet, and is intended for informational purposes only. The information provided is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor is it to be construed as such. We cannot guarantee that the information provided on the Keto Diet Podcast reflects the most up-to-date medical research. Information is provided without any representation or warranties of any kind. Please consult a qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding your health and nutrition program.